Hey there, sex fans! Welcome back. Today is Monday, March 25th, 2013, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge. And I'm your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick.
Oh, are you the doctor now?
Yeah, and for the last, 33 years or so. So, the oh-so-charming and ever-so-talented artist and illustrator Alexander is back today for part two of his appearance on this The Erotic Mind Show. There's more fun, more interesting conversation, and a whole lot more smut coming your way in just a moment.
Can you smell a smell? I can smell a smell.
Don't concern yourself, ma'am. But wait, you didn't miss part one of our chat, did you? Well, not to worry if you did, because you can find it and all of my podcasts in the podcast archive on my site, drdicksexadvice.com. All you got to do is use the search function in the header, type in podcast number 368, and presto! But don't forget to use the pound sign when you do your search. And as a bonus, Alexander has generously compiled a second alluring slideshow of some of his remarkable artwork. It accompanies today's podcast posting on my site, drdicksexadvice.com. Alexander invites you to visit him on his website, twinkietunes.com, and look for him on Facebook and Twitter, too. You'll find all of these links in today's podcast posting.
We've got something to tell you. We've got a pig in the house.
You know, nothing surprises me anymore. Today's program is once again brought to you by Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. You know, even though I get tons of email from folks looking for my advice, I can only respond to a limited number of inquiries at any given time, but that doesn't mean that I don't care about everyone who writes in. I do. That's why I've set up the How-To Video Library. You'll find a link to this great resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the Video Library tab in the header. The Video Library is the go-to place for all of you who have sexual performance questions. You'll be able to watch all kinds of deliciously entertaining, delightfully enriching, and oh-so-informative videos right from the comfort of your own home. How sweet is that?
A pathetic, cringing Nancy!
Now, Mother, you promised. And remember, a portion of the money that you spend at Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library educating, enriching, and entertaining yourself comes back to us as support for these marvelous shows. So knock yourself out. Okay, on with the show. Welcome back, Alexander, and thank you for joining us again this week for this Erotic Mind podcast. I had such a good time with you last week. You are not only talented, but very funny and charming, and so I'm glad that you're back. We were talking a lot about you and your career last week, and so I want to pick up precisely where we left off last week, if that's okay with you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Good. So,
hello, everybody. It's good to be back.
Good. Thanks for doing that. There you have it. Sometimes I just want to run on and on. So I've been having this running discussion with several other artists I've been interviewing lately, and it concerns the distinction between artist and illustrator. And I'd love for you to weigh in on this, if you will. Are you an artist or an illustrator, or are you both?
Well, I guess if we define an illustrator, it's someone who can sort of visualize an idea. Mm-hmm. And I think an artist is inherently an illustrator in that perspective. Yeah. I think it could be possible for an illustrator to not be an artist if you take it in the literal sense, right, that someone who illustrates could just be someone who can help to visualize an idea. Uh-huh. But I think, personally myself, I would say I was both,
right,
really.
Right, mm-hmm. Does there need to be a distinction? Because I know that, you know, some people who I've talked to in the art field, particularly fine artists, I don't know why they call themselves that, but they actually turn their nose up at people who are not doing fine art, so to speak, and, oh, they're not really artists. But I think that's unfair.
Yeah, I would agree. I would say that's unfair. I mean, when I went to art college, I did a little bit of everything. I did some fine art, I did sculpture, I did fashion design, and I did graphic design and illustration. Mm-hmm. And for me, they all kind of fell under the same umbrella, really.
Right.
Yeah, they were sort of the same thing. I wouldn't really try and separate myself. If I stuck to one of those categories, I wouldn't try and separate myself and say that the other things people did weren't art, because I think it's all art, really.
I suppose somebody could make the distinction between good art and bad art, and erotic art and non-erotic art, but it's art, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Good. So is it safe to assume that there is such a thing as Comic-Con in the UK? And if yes, have you ever attended? And what are your impressions of the event, if you have any?
We do have a Comic-Con, but it's not an erotic Comic-Con.
It's a
regular one.
Right.
The only one I ever went to was so ridiculously small, it might as well have just been someone's bedroom. It was absolutely tiny.
Oh, really? That's amazing.
Yeah.
Because there are huge events here.
They are. They're so... I'd love to go to one in America.
And they're like all over. We just had one here in Seattle, and the big one, of course, is in San Diego annually. And, I mean, the place is lousy. I mean, in the huge convention centers full of wacky, crazy people. It's too nutty.
Yeah, well, I've heard that for San Diego Comic-Con, that buying tickets is a nightmare for some people. You just can't do it if you don't get them.
Absolutely.
2 minutes.
Yes.
You've had it. Yeah.
So maybe that will grow in the UK, because there's as nutty people in the UK as there are here, don't you know?
We're everywhere. Yeah.
So are you seeing any trends in terms of erotic comics? Are they growing in popularity, for example?
Yeah, I'd definitely say they're growing in popularity. And I don't know whether that's because people weren't really aware of them so much before, or maybe there just weren't that many around. But I do personally think they're growing in popularity. With the internet now, of course, it's so much easier for people to have access to these sort of things.
Right. And there's no, you know, in terms of like Class Comics, which we've talked about, is your distributor. Last week we discussed that, and they, you know, are able to send a PDF copy, you know, as an attachment to an email, and that's so much better than, you know, trying to get stuff through customs or through, you know, the mail and whatnot. Isn't that great? I mean, I love it. My good, and instant, immediate gratification, which I know nothing about necessarily. I read about it in a book, but it's really, you know, that's really grand, is it not?
It is, and it isn't, because you can't beat having
the
physical copy in
front
of you.
That's so true.
But yeah, I do understand where you're coming from. It's just amazing that you could have it literally straight away if you wanted it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you have hard copies available, so to speak, as it were? No pun intended.
I have lots of hard copies.
Oh my gosh.
I have more hard copies than I know what to do with.
Oh Lord. You're giving me the vapors, don't you know? I'm old.
So I would just like to say that anyone who wants a copy of the comics and they can't wait, just buy the PDF and the physical one as well.
Great.
Because that's the physical one is so good to have.
Oh, it's
but
so true.
Obviously get the PDF as well.
Right.
Yeah.
So do you have any connection with other gay and alt comic makers?
No, unfortunately.
Oh,
because
really?
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to work with other people, but it just hasn't come about really at the moment.
Really? Yeah. Well, I'm going to introduce you to a whole bunch of folks that have been on my show. I know Butch McLogic really likes your stuff, and David Quintero likes your stuff, and Benoit Prevost is somebody you should know who lives in Paris, and Logan Kowalski, who has also been on my show. You should know these people. They're, you know, partner in your neighborhood,
well,
don't you know?
I chatted to Butch on Twitter once or twice.
Oh, these people are really grand, and they've all been on my show, and I love them dearly. They're extraordinarily talented. And on top of it, it seems to me that these connections will be enriching, you know, for all of you, because this is kind of solitary work, is it not?
So, yeah, it is a very, very solitary thing, drawing these comics. So I think some people could literally spend months at home and not go out at all, depending on how intensive they work themselves. You've really got to sort of allow yourself to stop once in a while, I guess, but yeah.
So all of these exceptional creatures in your work, are they figments of your imagination, or are they based on models that you work with?
Well, last time I did kind of let slip but I do base a lot of my characters on either myself or my partner. If I become stuck, but really the characters are all figments of my imagination. They're not really based on anyone at all.
So, and last week when you were talking to this point, you were saying that basically you use your partner, at least in the artistic sort of way, you know, for positioning like a hand or a body part or something like that, yes?
Yeah, occasionally I'll get a bit stuck and either the idea won't come to me or I just can't visualize what I'm trying to do. So I'll use either him or myself as a, mostly hand models, to be honest. Hands can be very annoying.
And they have to be anatomically correct. I mean, your creations have to be, it seems to me. Otherwise, there would be, you would lose something about the story, I'm guessing.
Yeah, especially for the type of story I do, it's very, very grounded in reality, realistic.
Yes, especially
looking,
penis sizes, don't you?
And they are just the most realistic sizes you've ever seen.
I know. I know, they look just like
sometimes
mine.
I think I've done them too small. But, you know, no. People tell me, no, they're fine. That's normal. I say, are you sure? Just a little bit bigger? No.
No wonder I get all these messages on Dr. Dick from people saying, how can I grow my dick any bigger? Forget it. Oy, oy, oy. Anyhow, so let's turn our attention to erotic art in general. I'm the mind that defining erotic art is difficult, since perceptions of both what is erotic and what is art fluctuate with time and culture. Is this your perception as well?
Sort of like a distinction between normal art and erotic art.
Right.
I guess it's all really down to what the individual sees. I think some people's perceptions of something that is erotic would clearly be different to someone else's. So, I don't know, I guess someone could find a cucumber erotic.
I guess.
Someone would just say it's something to eat. But I guess it's the same with art as well. Someone can look at something and see it as just artistic,
right,
whereas another person could look at it and say that it was erotica.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, there's somebody like Georgia O'Keeffe, for example. I mean, a lot of her art features flowers, and, I mean, they're beautiful as flowers, but, you know, it takes very little stretch of the imagination to see that they're actually vaginas or vulvas anyhow. So, you know, I think that that's, you know, I think that's astonishing. And you know, flowers of course are always non-erotic or sometimes they're non-erotic, and depending on who's looking, it could be an erotic kind of thing or something that you hang on your living room wall. I don't know. So.
Mm, definitely. I'm sure there are a lot of people who can see something that is literally not meant to be erotic,
right,
and see something in there,
right,
that will spark their imagination,
right,
and
yes.
Yeah.
So also some people make the distinction between erotic art and pornography, and both depict the body, sensuality, sexuality, fucking, blah, blah. But they feel that there is a fundamental difference between the two forms of expression. Do you share that perception?
Yeah, I think obviously a lot of people's opinions will differ,
mm-hmm,
as well. I think it's all down to perspective from an individual's point of view,
right,
more than anything. But I think it's safe to say there is possibly a clear distinction.
Where would that lie in your mind, for example? You being a person and all. I think.
A distinction between erotica and pornography, I guess it's got to do with, well, for me personally, how what you're viewing, how the intention of it comes,
right,
across to,
right,
you. So for me personally, I could look at maybe say a black and white picture of two people having sex, in done in a specific way, it wouldn't come across as pornographic,
uh-huh,
to me, but in saying it in a completely different tone, if I could see the intention was the people in the picture were there just to have a very good time with each other, then I suppose it would be pornographic.
Right.
It is quite
touchy,
it's difficult
subject, isn't it?
Yeah,
yes. And some people have been, very off the cuff about the distinction and said, if it's black and white, it's art, and if it's color, it's pornography. But, I think it's really much different than that. And I was going to ask you, what do you think your artwork is? Is it pornographic or is it erotic?
Well, I created it with the intention of it being pornographic.
I would guess so, yes.
But I guess, certain parts of it could be interpreted as artistic. At the end of the day, it is art, I suppose. Pornographic.
Yes, I would suspect that, your intention, that's what I picked up from your work, is that, this is meant to titillate, not just, dress up something,
mm-hmm,
make it look pretty.
Yeah, I guess that's the thing. I mean, if something is created with the intention of making people, shall we say, happy with themselves, then
themselves impurely.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
As we used to say in the church.
Yeah.
Anyhow. Well, that's cool. Yeah, I think so, too. And I think there is a distinction. And interestingly enough, it all depends on my mood. Like, if I'm Randy, if I'm feeling horny, just about anything that I see, I mean, I can see a suggestively shaped fruit or vegetable, and I go, I know where that is. But if I'm not horny, then, I could look at the most graphic depiction and not be aroused.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very good point, actually. And I'd agree with that 100%. It helps on your frame of mind, really,
right,
helps,
right, right, right,
what,
right,
you see,
yeah,
things as, yeah.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm. Especially for us men.
So if somebody took away all your pens and pencils and paper and computer, would you be hard-pressed if somebody said you could never create again the kind of stuff that you do now?
Yeah, definitely, 100%. I would probably go into sort of withdrawal symptoms.
All right.
I do remember when I was at school, maybe about 14, 15 years old, and I broke my right hand, which is my drawing hand. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't draw for about 2 weeks. And I was going crazy, because I couldn't do it, I wanted to do it more. And I sort of knew at that point, yeah, if anything had ever happened and I couldn't ever draw again, I'd really be, I'd be gutted.
Yeah. Was that your jack-off hand too?
Muscles on that hand are bigger than the ones on the other hand. Or the arm, sorry. The muscles on my right arm. Twice as big as the ones on my left arm.
Oh, you don't say. Alrighty then. So,
That's just a...
Do you think erotic artists are wired differently than us mere mortals? It's a loaded question. You better be nice.
That was a difficult answer. I'll be back.
Well, go ahead.
I'd say I am wired differently to other people in the respect that I'm a little bit crazy. Uh-huh. But in a good way.
Yeah,
not institutionalized.
Not quite that far. Alrighty.
No, but along those lines.
Okay,
yeah.
Very cool.
So it all helps, I think.
So today, erotic artists seem to abound, certainly on the internet, and they seem to be everywhere. Although in some circles, this genre is still not accepted as mainstream. Has that been your experience? Have you received any kind of derogatory remarks about, you know, you seem to be such a talented artist? What is it with all these big fat penises sticking right out?
No, I've not really come across anything derogatory at all.
Good.
But yeah, it has sort of been a case of, it seems only over the past maybe five or six years or so that it's really sort of become true.
It's true. I mean, the stuff that you produce, even as little as you say, 5 or 6 years ago, this would have been like, very hair-raising, eyebrow-raising,
mm-hmm.
for
yeah.
sure.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness.
But it's so nice that it's really sort of, so many erotic artists are sort of coming out of the woodwork now.
Right.
And they're all fantastic as well. And just to think that maybe 5 or 6 years ago, these people would have kept all this stuff hidden.
Yes.
And
you mentioned that. You mentioned that earlier when you were a kid, that, you know, you created mm-hmm. your first stories, your first comics, and you destroyed them right away because, you know, you didn't want to be found out. So mm-hmm. isn't that amazing? Good. Well, it must be a relief at some level to be living now as opposed to then or even before, when, you know, this kind of stuff was just, you know, not to be had.
Definitely, yeah, because there was a time when I was drawing things like this, and it was just for myself, and mm-hmm. it was nice, but it would have been nicer to sort of share it, and now...
Right.
I know that people are going to see it, so it makes it all the more worthwhile doing it.
Right. So, yeah. So do you feed on the feedback that you get, and you must get some? I mean, I watch your Twitter feed, and people are just like, just adoring, you know, toward you and your work. So that must be its own reward to some degree.
Definitely, yeah. It's sort of, I think it helps drive me to do it. Really, I mean, if I were to not have shown anyone my work at all ever, I think I would have been doing it at a much slower pace,
right.
really, and maybe not so often. But now that I know people like what they're seeing, what I'm doing, it sort of spurs me on to get more done and
bigger and better things. Huh.
Yeah, bigger and bigger.
Holy cow, we're going to have one big page of one big penis, and then...
Yeah. We could get one of those rolls of wallpaper
exactly.
and just roll it out, yeah.
Exactly. I love it. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you, are there topics that you gravitate toward and topics that you avoid in your work?
I think... For me, it'll firstly just depend on the story. I'll create a story, and I try to let the stories sort of grow as organically as I can.
Right,
and whatever sort of things need to be added to there, I will do. There's nothing really that I would say I would never do or that I particularly avoid, but I suppose a lot of my work has sort of focused on, I'd say, more sort of, well, less fantasy situations.
Right.
And I guess a lot of younger guys as well at the moment. But I certainly wouldn't rule anything out.
So do you foresee that your stuff is going to get edgier and edgier?
Well, perhaps. Actually, the second issue of Rydhard, which I am currently drawing, the stories were written ages ago, but I'm currently drawing it. I don't want to spoil anything, but there's definitely a little bit more edgier than the last issue and some of the things I've drawn previously.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I sort of want to keep it fairly, what's the word I'm looking for? So that everyone can enjoy it. It's not too niche, but there's going to be a bit edgier stuff in there, yeah. I can't really spoil too much about the next issue.
Right, I understand.
But, there's going to be some good stuff. It's definitely going to be a lot hotter than the last one. That's what I have to say.
Nearly impossible. I'm sorry, Alexander. Nearly impossible.
I think it's okay for me to say that Alex is going to be in a bit of a sticky situation. Well, Alex is going to be in the doghouse.
Uh-oh.
And he's going to meet some bad puppies.
I love it.
That's all the clues I can give you.
Alrighty. So what do you look for in the erotic art of others?
I really love looking at other people's artwork. I really do, as often as I can. And I think what I tend to enjoy the most are the ideas, seeing what sort of things they... how inventive they are, especially with the sex. That's always nice to see.
Yes.
I don't think there's anything particularly I look for, but that's the thing I really enjoy seeing the most. Over the past few years, I've seen some really unbelievable ways of having sex that just seem totally impossible. Some people are so creative.
Really?
They really are.
Gary, they're so creative. Holy cow.
Uh-huh.
I suppose that you're hit up for this kind of thing on a regular basis. But if someone just starting out in the field approached you for advice, what would you say? Like they want to get in the adult comic book arena.
What? Well, I suppose I'd say definitely don't be put off at the thought that you're going to have trouble getting your work seen or produced, because there are so many options now.
Exactly that.
Yeah, even just to get it seen, I'd say on Twitter or Facebook is always a good start, because then in turn other people will. So, yeah, definitely don't be put off by that.
Right.
I'd say just make sure you get your work done and get it out there for everyone to see.
Right. So, I'm just looking at my clock, and I see that our time is up again for today, and that's very disappointing, because I could spend hours with you. You're so charming and delightful, and I'm eternally grateful that you have spent so much of your precious time with us, because I know that you'd much rather be, you know, drawing things of enormous proportion. But we're grateful. Anyhow, could you give us your website address, walk us around a bit, tell us where we can buy your work, and so that we can visit you until we speak again?
Sure. Okay, so you can buy my comic pad from classcomics.com, and you can get two different versions there. You can get a PDF version as well as a physical copy.
Yay.
If you go into the Class Comics website, there's a link to their store at the top, and there are two different sections.
Right, and I'll have links in today's podcast posting, too.
Mm-hmm. And you can also contact me on Facebook. I'm on there. It's facebook.com facebook.com/gay.comic.artist and also Twitter. My Twitter username is @AlexanderGayArt. And I'm always on Twitter. I'm always happy to say hello to everyone. And yep, always happy to message people on there.
Good.
And of course, there's always naughty artwork on Twitter as well.
Yep. Right. And don't forget Twinkie Tunes.
Oh, yes. www.twinktunes.com. If you like your twinks, yes. Thank you for the reminder. There are so many to remember. I can never
That's
remember.
That's true enough. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Well, Alexander, thank you again. It's such a pleasure getting to know you, and I look forward to more and more, not only chat, but your artwork. And thank you for
Thanks
your time. So Be well.
You are.
And enjoy the spring.
And you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye
Thanks,
now.
Bye.
What a marvelous show, huh? Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next week on Wednesday for another edition of the Sex Education Show and more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. However, before we go, let me remind you that this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. Listen up, buckaroos. Thanks to this amazing technology, you'll be able to watch your choice of smut from the comfort of your own home. With just a little prompting from you, they're going to come gushing out of your computer like nobody's business. Check it out. You'll find a link to this fabulous sex resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the tab that reads Video on Demand. There is no membership fee. This is a pay-per-minute sort of deal. So your pay-per-view minutes allow you to watch whatever content you want for whatever length of time you choose. Pretty gall-darn sweet, huh? And remember, a portion of the money you spend at Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library, educating, enriching, and entertaining yourself comes back to us as support for these marvelous shows. So knock yourself out.
I am not a Dr. Charles, but my wife has two topics of conversation. One is the royal family, the other is her bowels.
As fascinating as that is, we're going to have to pick that up at another time, because today, we're done. Until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex? Well, that's even better. Over and out.